There have been many unusual situations which have led me to think about the concept of uncertainty. Uncertainty is a very interesting concept, because often we base our lives on things which we assume will always be there, things that we assume are givens or axiomatic truths in our lives. And these givens or axiomatic truths form the basis and the foundation of everything we do, everything we think. You know, my wife is doing this advanced studies in psychology and psychotherapy, and she just got a book which entitled Man as a Believing Animal. A believing animal. In other words, the same basic functions as the animal, of course much more sophisticated, but the system which is unique to man is the belief system. A belief system that we believe something. And we have like this certainty, for example, about God. Even though you cannot rationally or experimentally prove the existence of God in a logical sense, we can have this belief there is a God, there is a divinity, but yet sometimes that can be seriously challenged. In our, we watch this show called Rome. It's a fabulous historical account in a very dramatic presentation about the history of ancient Rome. And there was this warrior in the show who is very powerful, right underneath the emperor in power. And he lost his wife, lost his children, lost everything he had that he loved. And he lost all of his faith and belief in God and declared himself a son of Hades. Hades meaning hell, the devil. We have also seen in after World War II, when many rabbis' faith was totally cracked by what happened, and they could no longer accept God, because if there was a God, how could he allow something like this to happen? So we have seen that these certainties, this warrior beforehand was certain in the direction and mercy of God's. The rabbis were certain in the protection of God. And yet these certainties were shattered by unpredictable, unexpected events which traumatized these religious people into losing their faith. Now that is a very, very important thing for us to understand. Not because I'm interested in challenging the concept of faith, neither am I interested in challenging the concept of belief. Certainly I'm not interested in challenging the concept of God. But from the point of view of deeply understanding ourselves, deeply understanding what we are, how we work, and trying to deal with uncertainty, it's very important to understand our capacity as a believing animal. For example, most animals, they'll feel comfortable with you. But as soon as there's a small, unexpected sound that's out of the ordinary, a movement which is out of the ordinary, or any situation which is out of the ordinary, immediately they react as if this was a totally new situation. In other words, they do not have faith that just because everything was fine before, it will always be fine. They instantly adjust their awareness to any new circumstance. They're always active. They're always active with their ears. They're always active with their eyes. They're always looking because they know perfectly well. Danger can come from any corner, instantly, and you just have to look out for it. Any of you who have experience with animals very well know what I mean. They are very alert because they do not have faith or belief that just because it was fine, it will always be fine. Now that makes us and animals different right there, because we are believing animals. We have beliefs, and upon these beliefs, we create as a foundation everything that we build our lives upon. We have our relations, our relationships, our families, and we believe these will always be there. We have our bodies, we have our situations personally, we believe it will continue. We don't really consider the fact that death can come at any second. The idea that death can come at any second is, first of all, not in most people's minds. And anyway, nobody wants to live their lives now as if in the next second they can die. After all, even though it has been stated that you should live your life as if you would die at any moment, that actually is not at all very practical. In fact, it's a very discouraging way to live life. I mean, if you had to live like that, you would never try to move forward in any way, because you would just think you're going to die at any moment. And if you ever did anything to take care of what you personally needed for yourself or something, you may be so filled with guilt because, oh my God, I enjoyed this something, ice cream even, whatever, and I could die eating ice cream. Now, that's really a difficult way to live. I get the idea. I understand the motive of it. It's a good motive that you should live your life for higher purposes. Okay, I get that. But we assume many things in our lives. We assume things. For example, if you look at this financial situation that's going on in Europe, America, Asia, the assumption was because the financial markets were growing for a long time, they will continue to do so. And as soon as there were these proofs that it wasn't going to do so, because everybody had assumed it would be so, everybody got hysterical, and this hysteria is making chaos in the economic world. Because when belief is challenged by reality, one puts into doubt the very foundations of one's life. We see this when people who have a very close, intimate relationship, when somebody does something that is completely unexpected and outside of the parameters of that relationship, it completely shakes the whole foundation of one's life. When one has money and one loses money, it just shakes one's foundation. If one is healthy and then finds out that one is not healthy, one has serious problems, it shakes the foundation of life. These kinds of situations, based upon uncertainties, of course, in one sense, there's a certainty. The certainty there is that things will be always the same. Things will be okay. But they are not okay. This is the thing that really differentiates us between the animals. Okay, I would say that differentiates in a way which makes us less realistic. We have this capacity for fantasy. Animals don't have the same capacity. They're living in a very realistic realm. We are living in many ways in the fantasy realm. There are many fantasies that we have. Fantasies about our lives. Fantasies about the continuity of our lives. The fact that things will just go on. I mean, just I heard 2 days ago, Upendra was killed in a car crash in Moscow. More than 2 weeks ago. But nobody even knew it. No close associates were there that would know that day by day he was missing. Only when some inquiries were made was it discovered that he was missing and in fact had died in a car crash. So here he was living his life with a kind of certainty it would go on, and then suddenly he drives too fast around a curve and gone. It's that kind of a situation which makes, I mean, me, for example, feel very uncertain. I mean, I've also faced similarly in the last week similar situations at home here. Loss of our pet cat. He just walked away and something happened. We don't know. So it's this belief we have that whatever was will just go on. And then you hear something that, no, it isn't going on. It's not that way. And then you have to deal with it. You have to deal with this, it being not that way. You have to deal with it being different. It's an amazing thing, belief. It's an amazing thing that we think it will be fine. And worse is this uncertainty. Because in reality, everything is uncertain. Of course, that can make you crazy, too. In reality, an earthquake can come any second and knock down your building. In reality, a hurricane can blow over and knock down your house. In reality, you can be hit by a car or just die of a heart attack. This is reality. These things actually happen. But if you were constantly paranoid about this, and every minute of every day you're just worrying about where will the end come, you cannot live. You cannot live in the present. Because you're anticipating a future. Now, if we again examine the way animals deal with uncertainty and the present, and the way we deal with uncertainty and the present, you will understand that we are not in a natural state, if you think about it. For an animal, you can pet him. He feels very good because he's being petted. Yet, again, as soon as there's some change in the situation, he immediately adjusts to it. It's not that he's afraid and worried about changes. But when the change occurs, he's instantly adapting to it. He's ready to make any move required to adapt to it. We are worried. We worry about the future. As I've told you before, I have a certain astrological aspect which makes me worry all the time. What about this? What about that? And one astrologer once told me that even if you have nothing to worry about, you worry about that. Why is there nothing to worry about? What's going on? What hidden things are going on that I should worry about, that I'm not worrying about? How the future will bring a surprise, but I shall be ready for it. I shall be ready for all the surprises of the future. I shall plan everything in such a way that any surprise that comes, I'll be ready for it. so I will be protected. But it doesn't work like that. If I have challenges I have to meet, if I have challenges that I have to overcome, that are going to somehow assist my evolution, then no matter what I plan, I'm going to have to face those challenges nonetheless. Because uncertainty is not something that can be overcome. Surprises are not things which can be overcome. Now, why is this? And we all know it's so. There is not one person on this planet who can say they have perfectly prepared for every uncertainty there is, and no uncertainty will surprise them, no uncertainty will somehow harm them. Nobody can say that. For example, you can insure your house against hurricanes. Sure, that's no problem. But if a hurricane comes and blows down your house, you can't insure yourself over your personal devastation. That's not possible. So, sure, you can attempt, and I'm not saying you shouldn't. You should attempt to plan to secure situations. This is human nature. It will always be human nature. But you cannot secure yourself against devastation, personally or collectively. There are always situations which we cannot predict. Now, how do you mix this uncertainty principle and this principle of living in the now? How do you mix these two? The animals deal with it basically by living in the now and being ready to adapt instantly. Humans are much slower at that adapting business. Humans can adapt, no doubt. And humans can adapt very well if they have to. It depends also on their psychology. But generally speaking, humans adapt very well, given enough impetus to do it or necessity to do it. The difference between the humans and the animal is always ready to do it at any given moment, at least temporarily. Doesn't mean he's going to be happy about it, but the concept of adaptation is built into his genes, built into his structure. That at any moment, he's ready to do it because he knows he has to for survival. Humans fight situations. And only when they understand it's counterproductive to continue fighting, do they adapt. That time span, how long it takes for them to figure out it's counterproductive, can range from a moment where you realize, surrender, adapt, I can't do anything, to perhaps years, or maybe even the whole lifetime. But there's always an initial thought that I've got to do something about this, I've got to change it. It is not built into our genes to instantly adapt all situations. It is built into our genes, fight or flight, which is not what I'm talking about. That animals have also. That's just a universal instinct. A danger comes. Should I fight it or should I run from it? Now, this kind of adaptation I'm not talking about. But I'm talking about the adaptation like we have, for instance, that there's no food over here, or there's a catastrophe over there, or there's a a loss of a friend over there, or a loss of a job, or a rumor was started, or a loss of a relationship, or a change of mood or feeling. This kind of adaptation I'm speaking about. Or that my expectations are not met. My assumptions are no longer correct. My faith was proven to be faulty. I don't necessarily mean spiritually or religiously, but it can mean that too. But faith in anything. I know our friend here in Gainesville, they have a wonderful black dog. And that dog was sleeping peacefully in her room when all of a sudden a big tree limb, a huge limb of a tree, came crashing through the roof. And since that time, she's hysterical about trees falling through the roof. There are also traumas we have to live with. Traumas, for example, of harm we have felt, of pain we have felt. And these traumas imprint on us the actual uncertainty of life. And as you grow older, life has an increasing aura of uncertainty about it. As you know, it's not going to get better in that sense of physically or the capacity of the physical vehicle. It's declining. It's going down. It's going towards that end that is certain. So now how do you deal with uncertainty in the now? If, for example, I'm certain I'm going to die, how does that affect my now? If it's uncertain that the next minute is going to be the same as this present minute, how do I deal with the now? Do I concentrate myself on preparing for a future which may or may not happen? Or do I just live and let things happen and adapt to them as they occur? Well, honestly speaking, I can't answer that question. Because I suppose it's a combination of the two. To a certain extent, we have to prepare. Otherwise, our minds will be agitated. If we don't go out and earn money, we won't be able to put food on the table. We won't be able to take care of the family. We have to make sure the windows are sealed properly so that the rain doesn't come in. We have to, you know what I'm talking about. So amongst that uncertainty, we have to prepare for certain elements which we just basically need to protect ourselves and our loved ones from. And that's just part of the now. Now, when we talk about the beliefs, though, when we talk about the spirituality of it, those systems, philosophically or spiritually, assist us in dealing with this uncertainty. Now, I know detachment is a very significant factor. There are also factors of just simply accepting. There are other factors about learning to understand, learning to deal with unexpected pain. These things are very clearly helping those who are within religion, because they are part of the religious structure, how we deal with life. We have that capacity to understand. We can understand there's a reason for things. We can understand there's a higher purpose. Whether you believe that or not depends upon your personal spirituality. I know in my life, I know, I just know, there's always a reason. There's always a purpose, whatever it may be. There is a purpose to it all. It may seem impossible to understand now, but at one point, it will be clear. Perhaps in this lifetime, perhaps in next lifetime, or perhaps in the in-between state when we're more clear about what's going on. There is a certainty that there's the reasons for things always manifest at one point or another. Because the universe is not chaos. And that is certain. We do not live in a chaotic universe. Even if you simply look at nature without the interference of man, but then again, man is part of nature, you will see it is not chaos. You will see there is a systematic transformation of life. Chaos may come in terms of human intervention, like when humans make war, like when humans, for example, take a boat full of oil and then it cracks and all the oil goes on the beach, etc. Humans make chaos. Nature doesn't make chaos. Okay, if there's a fault in the earth and there's an earthquake occurring and houses fall down, that is, from our point of view, a chaos in our lives. But the earthquake itself is not a product of chaos. It's a product of the nature of the earth. Now that's a very important point. Nature is organized. Now we call fault a fault because we call it something wrong. And the reason we call it wrong is the way it affects us. But as one professor once told me, very famous professor, his name is Alex Wayman, he said, humans are inherently stupid. For example, why do we build enormous cities like Los Angeles on the San Andreas Fault? It's this huge fault on the west coast of the United States. A fault where, yeah? Why do we build a huge city like Los Angeles on the San Andreas Fault, which is a huge fault on the west coast of the United States? So the fault is not a fault in the earth. We label it as a fault, meaning an error, but it's not really an error. It's just the way it is. The error is in our minds for being so stupid as to put a city on a fault. So nature is not chaos. But it can create chaos when we work against nature, when we don't understand nature. Anyway, life is not chaos because everything has a purpose. There is a reason to all things. There is a purpose to all things. There is a divine arrangement. Now, the rabbis, for instance, who could not tolerate the destruction of so many Jewish people, considered it a fault in God. How could God let this happen? The fault is not in God. The fault is in the mentality to think that God, his job, or her job, is to police the world. God is not the police department. It is not God's position to be the police force, to put you in jail or to arrest you or to whatever. If humanity decides It's going to make a war. And even quote God as the reason this war is taking place. That is not God's fault. Neither is it God's position to police those who have taken God's authority, so-called, as the justification of a war. This is man's realm. Our ideas should not include that everything is chaos, and therefore we can't depend on anything. Our ideas should include that there is a divine order, and it is our responsibility to work with it, not fight it, to adapt to it, not force it to adapt to us. Global warming, prime example. You force the world to adapt to you. It does, but not in the way you expect. It adapts by making changes in the weather. It adapts by melting the poles. These are reactions. And the idea that certain kinds of results are coming to us, normally known as karma, is a perfect representation of reality adapting to us. Because nature always adapts. So reality is adapting to us by making adjustments according to our acts, which have created certain kinds of events, which have created certain kinds of chains of consequences. And when everybody is doing this, there is a massive adaptation of what we are creating in the future, how events take place. And yet that is still within the divine plan to allow us to move forward, to allow us to understand how what we do affects everything. You don't wake up one morning and all of a sudden decide you're going to be holistic. You're going to see things as equally important everywhere. It's something you have to learn. It's something you have to accept and practice, no matter what happens. And it's not easy. Because if it was easy, we wouldn't adapt. We only adapt when we have to. Because if there's no reason to adapt, we will not adapt. Adapt means you are adjusting according to some new situation. We have always this desire to keep everything the same, or at least more of it, or get some new things, but really we'd like to have stability. So therefore, the uncertainty principle is there in the divine nature of things to cause us to move forward by creating situations which challenge us, which challenge what we are, which challenge how we see things. And this situation is part of a greater plan. And when we see that, and we try to understand why in that greater scheme, it helps us deal with it. It helps us adapt. And it gives us peace of mind. So we can actually spiritually just accept. And in a detached or more detached mood, experience that spiritual energy, integrate it into our lives, and move forward. Move forward, move onwards, and grow. And be the best people we can be, always wishing to be of service to others, who need help adapting. For this is basically part of the divine scheme of things, the holistic scheme of things, to see others as you see yourself, to render service to others as you wish to have it yourself, to show love towards others as you wish to be loved yourself. For this is part of the divine nature of things. So, that is my realization for the week. Nothing new, nothing spectacular. It just is what it is. And in the divine scheme of things, Upendra was not very happy. He never felt that he had a home in this world. And now he has found that place he was longing to be. So in the higher scheme of things, he's fine. So when we think of it, oh, he drove into whatever, he's dead. And if we were to be bewildered by it, yet in the higher scheme of things, right now, he's fine. So we have to adapt.